imperialistic gains in the region, when Iran, since 1979, has been facing the most brutal sanctions, and in fact, an eight-year war to undermine this revolution. Why? Precisely because of this strength of the revolution that has ultimately been so able to influence hearts and minds in the region to wake the masses up for their rights. So when Iran comes to Iraq and stands against the American occupation with the Iraqis, when it comes to Lebanon in 1982, when it sends its men to South Lebanon to fight the Israeli occupation, despite the fact that it's fighting the war with Saddam that he launched on Iran with Western backing. So this was during the sacred defense. You know, so the occupation, the Israeli occupation entity, the American occupation that is inherently aggressive and offensive in this region, it began to be repelled. The point in which a real threat was constituted was when the spirit of resistance was revived in 1979 through the revolution, and Al-Quds Day is a manifestation of that. What is so significant about Al-Quds Day, as I mentioned, is that divine and that religious title to it again. You know, when transgressions happen towards Al-Quds, it's not only related to the people of the region. This is not a nationalistic or a geographic issue. It is at its core a humanitarian issue. You are attacking one of the most holiest and sacred lands anywhere in the world. You know, so it's against all religions. It's against Christians. It's against Judaism. It's against anyone who has any sense of this holiness. And so ultimately, when there is a movement and when there is a spirit of resistance that exists and it is being supported logistically on the ground, that is when it constitutes as a real threat. And I would say that it is due to the spirit of Al-Quds Day that we are seeing the Israeli occupation entity failing today, because on the material balance, it doesn't make sense how the resistance is winning against the American war machine. Because if you were to compare the numbers and the capabilities and the capacities, they don't add up. You know, the number of resistance fighters versus the number of, for example, reserve fighters in the Israeli occupation force. You know, you have over 300,000 fighters. The reason that they were unable to ground invade, the reason that they were unable to achieve any strategic military objective on the ground, whether that's killing top resistance leaders in Gaza, whether that's uprooting the resistance infrastructure, whether that's targeting the tunnels, whether that's even releasing the hostages through war. You know, any one of those military objectives that Israel stated from the start of this war, it's not managed to achieve it. Why? Because its army are inherently cowards. They're not able to give their life for a cause that they don't believe in. They are paid money to go and live in this land,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
But it's the spirit of the resistance that has allowed them to win.
Okay. Well, let me, Harley, let me turn back to Germany. Harley Schlanger. I mean, your take, Harley, on where this is going. We have seen this 6 months and a growing awareness. Inside of Germany, though, we see there's a schism. I mean, we have the schizophrenia of the Germans being behind a lot of this to begin with. But on the other hand, as far as officially, very much behind the Zionist regime. But do you also see this growing awareness of the people on the ground? And where do you see this going?
Well, I think there's a growing recognition in Germany that the government's position in defense of the Israeli attack on the Palestinian people is an echo of the Hitler Holocaust, only this time being done by the so-called Jewish state. And this is having a profound effect on Jews around the world. We see in the United States young Jewish voices demonstrating, the Jewish Voices for Peace, for example, disrupting events with Blinken and Hillary Clinton and others, demanding that the genocide stop. So there has been a touch of the conscience of the world because of the suffering of the Palestinian people, because of this Israeli settler colonialism, which is refusing to recognize that this is a genocide that's underway. But I think increasingly people are seeing that that's exactly what it is. And we see the phony crocodile tears of U.S. Secretary of State Blinken, who will say over and over and over, oh, I'm so horrified by the suffering of Palestinian children, but won't cut off the flow of arms to Israel, won't stop supporting Israel and the United Nations. And so this hypocrisy is now visible to virtually anyone who wants to see it. And that's why on Al-Quds Day, the mobilization to defend Jerusalem as an international city representing the three faiths, the importance of that is that not getting drawn into the geopolitics of the Anglo-American world and saying that we have to defend Jewish lives, when in fact this has nothing to do with Jewish lives. It has to do with the Zionist millenarian cult, which is being used by imperial forces to continue a colonial policy. And what I'm trying to get across to the people who listen to my videos and my presentations is that that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an anti-colonial uprising, which is not just in Gaza, but which is throughout the global south, against the Anglo-American war machine, the NATO war machine. And NATO is losing in Ukraine, and the Israel is becoming a pariah among nations. So the spirit of today is to stand up against this kind of oppression and say there is a human solution, which is the end of this kind of colonial policy. And I think that's very important, and I think it is getting across that despite the incredibly heavy-handed efforts of the Western media to censor what's really going on.
Very significant indeed, and of course we're keeping our eyes out on that. I'd like to thank both of you for being with me, Batu Sabati, activist and political analyst out of London, Harley Schlanger, spokesman International Schiller Institute out of Potsdam, Germany, and viewers, you're looking at these live images coming from across the country. Iran, you see Tehran's and Zanjan, Arak, and Oromia there, various parts of the country where people are turning out in mass. This, of course, to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people and, of course, to show their frustration and disdain at the Zionist entity and its continuation of this unbelievable atrocities taking place, the genocide in Gaza, and also the continual oppression on the West Bank. We'll be back and continuing our coverage shortly after these messages, so stay with us right here at Press TV.
I think we should appreciate Ayatollah for that bold step in reminding the world of the atrocities that have been committed on these people. Forget about the religion which they are. We are first and foremost human beings. Humanity comes first. Islam is peaceful. Islam is justice. And Islam believes in equality. So there is need for the entire world to come to the aid of Palestinians so that this war on Gaza should stop in totality.
Today, as we witness the Israeli genocide against Palestinians, we call on the Muslim world to stand up for Palestine and show their support. The whole world is witnessing the systematic killing of innocent people in Gaza. Even after the UN Security Council ordered to stop this genocide, the Zionist regime insists on continuing its crimes.
International Quds Day is a chance for all Muslims to stand together for Palestine. Honestly, it's unfortunate how some of the Arabic countries are standing still without taking action against ongoing genocide in Gaza.
It's a day of solidarity with the Palestinian people and to remind the world of this humanitarian case, which represents the will and struggle of the free people against colonialism.
The great Imam Khomeini initiated the Quds Day after many countries left Palestine behind. We commemorate this day annually to expose those who attempt to normalize their relationship with the Zionist regime.
International Quds Day, which was initiated by Imam Khomeini, is a great event that pushed the Palestinian issue to the fore. It showed how the axis of resistance is an indispensable regional force, and it highlighted the rights of the Palestinians.
The genocide against Palestinians makes it imperative for the Islamic nation and the whole free world to stand together this Friday during International Quds Day to show their solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Islamic teachings and values instruct us to unite. We are nearly 2 billion Muslims worldwide. If we all had made a collective decision about Quds and Palestine, the occupying Israeli regime could not have done what it did in Gaza. But unfortunately, some Muslim leaders serve as traitors. It's a big shame. We all must stand for Palestine and the Al-Quds and fight to free it.
All Muslims worldwide must hold this belief that those who are massacred in Gaza are their brothers and sisters. All Muslims must unite on the axis of Al-Quds and raise their voices in protest against Israel and in solidarity with Gazans. The last Friday of Ramadan provides a good opportunity when we all mark the International Quds Day. Quds is occupied and we are determined to free it.
The International Quds Day, which is designated by Imam Khomeini, serves as a day of solidarity with Palestinians. It's important because on this day, all freedom seekers globally rally behind Al-Quds and the people of Gaza. It's important especially today, when we are facing a war of narratives and information through the media. We all must take part and do whatever we can to protest and condemn Israeli crimes and support oppressed Gazans.
On this coming Friday, I'll definitely take part in Al-Quds rallies and protests. I call on all Afghans to observe this day not as a political issue but as a human and Islamic cause. Let's come together and raise our voices so that Gaza gets freed from this Israeli oppression.
We all must extend our support and empathy for Gazans to prevent Israelis from continuing this oppression in Palestine. We pray that God help and bless all Muslims so that they become victorious over Israelis and save their Palestinian brothers.
This day was designated by Imam Khomeini as International Quds Day, commemorating the Palestinian cause, which is a matter of existence, the rights of a nation, and its stolen land under oppressive occupation. Therefore, observing Al-Quds Day every year, anywhere in the world, is a way of supporting the Palestinian cause.
International Quds Day is very important, especially this year with the Al-Aqsa flood operation. We all stand with Gaza, Palestine, and its people.
After the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Imam Khomeini designated the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day. The event this year is exceptional because it coincides with what is happening in Gaza. Everyone must defend Gaza, even with words and by revealing the truth.
Every day is for Al-Quds. We need this reminder for humanity. Every year, ceremonies are held to emphasize this religious, historical, and geographical importance of Al-Quds and the Palestinian people's rights to it as their capital. However, this year is exceptional due to the Al-Aqsa flood operation, the flood of Palestinian blood that will drown the Zionist entity and its allies.
International Quds Day in 2024 is different from previous years because the Israeli project is fading away. Palestine remains a central cause, and Al-Aqsa flood operation confirms the correctness of Iran's designation of this day by reviving the Palestinian cause.
The blessings of this day in the blessed month of Ramadan extends to the axis of resistance. This sacred day strengthens our belief in victory in the war on Gaza, where the enemy staggers under the blows of the resistance.
Al-Quds City has witnessed attempts to Judaize, destroy, and change its identity over the past 75 years. International Quds Day has restored it as a day for the Palestinian cause and the oppressed. Al-Quds has become a symbol for all the oppressed people in the world and every free and noble human being since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran 44 years ago.
International Quds Day is a historic day through which we call upon Arabs and Muslims to unite with the Islamic resistance in Palestine to eliminate Israel and Zionist American imperialism and liberate Palestine. We thank everyone who has defended Palestine, especially Iran, and we believe in the victory of the Palestinian resistance over the Israeli entity.
Welcome back. This is the live coverage of World Quds Day. We are with you. And as you may know, for more than 75 years, Palestinians have sought their right to existence, which is blended with their identity, that is their ancestral land, history, language, and culture. More than 75 years ago, a cancerous tumor called Israel was invented and implanted in the region, in the West Asia region, which is not abiding by any convention, resolution, treaty, and human principle.
That's right. The International Quds Day rallies and marches are underway here in the Islamic Republic of Iran, in cities and towns up and down this country, and in many other countries and cities throughout the world. As the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini, said, International Quds Day doesn't just belong to the Palestinians, it belongs to the entire Islamic Ummah, it belongs to Islam, it's a day for Muslims. He said, we see the truth against falsehood and justice against oppression on International Quds Day. As the late Imam Khomeini used to say, this is the day of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and it's the day when truth separates from falsehood.
Yes, and as you may know, rallies are underway in Iran to mark International Quds Day in support of Palestinians and their cause.
It's now time for us to go back to Press TV headquarters and continue with our coverage of International Quds Day rallies and marches. Currently, we have a roundtable discussion with
Omar
Nashabe,
yes,
a political analyst from Beirut, Lebanon. Let's take a listen.
Different course. I mean, today we are closer than ever to the victory. And this is a proof of the wisdom of Imam Khomeini. Because when he proclaimed this in 1979, and throughout the years, perhaps people thought that why is this a priority? Well, today we can see how important this day is and this cause, how central this cause is, because the Israeli entity has proven to be not only the enemy of Muslims and of Palestinians and Arabs, but also the enemy of humanity, the enemy of the world order, the enemy of international law. I mean, there were, you know, Security Council resolution passed for a ceasefire, and Israel does not respect this. There were the court decisions by the highest court, the International Court of Justice, and two decisions were out, and the Israeli enemy keeps violating it. Israel bombs other countries, not only attacks the Palestinians, bombs, attacks diplomats and embassies. They attacked the Iranian embassy in Damascus. This is a very clear violation of international law. One would have expected that the international community will have a stronger reaction. Now the Israelis are trying to say that this was a military, but it's nonsense. I mean, this is part of the embassy, and they bombed the embassy and killed the diplomats and killed the people there with cold blood, and this is unacceptable completely. But this proves again the importance and wisdom of Imam Khomeini, because Imam Khomeini had told us before that this entity called Israel is demonic, it is evil, it is destructive, it cannot actually continue to exist in this part of the world or anywhere else if we really want an area that will be prosperous and that will live in peace and security and where people will respect each other. This Israeli entity has to be removed from existence if people actually truly, seriously seek a better life, a life where justice prevails and where laws are respected and where humans are respected. The Israeli entity, with the support of the Americans and the Europeans and the Indians and the Japanese, have created a crime that is shameful for humanity and shameful for the history of humanity. And it is shameful for anyone around the world to sit and watch these massacres take place and do nothing about it. This is genocide, what's happening. It's an extermination of an entire population that is completely unacceptable by any standard. Here is Imam Khomeini, who calls for this day since 1979 to tell the world and warn the world since 1979 that these Israelis are going to create more massacres, and they are going to violate more the basic principles of international law and human rights and human dignity. And here is the world today can see that Imam Khomeini was right all along, and we should have done something since before 79 to actually remove this demonic entity called Israel that is violating all laws and all principles. And today it will continue. Even the United States is feeling shame and feeling uneasy with this behavior of the Israelis, although the United States is the number one supporter of the Israeli enemy, and it provided all the weapons that killed all these children and bombed all these hospitals. And the Israelis are continuing with this war of starvation. And when, in the holy months of Ramadan, in Ramadan al-Mubarak, they are attacking and starving the Palestinians. This shows that this Palestinian cause should be, and it is, an Islamic cause. It is the cause of all Muslims all around the world. And it is the cause for all humans also, because anyone would want to live in dignity and peace. And the Israelis are saying that it is not allowed for people to live in dignity and peace and equal rights, that the Palestinians are not worthy humans. This is unacceptable kind of racist perspective. The Israeli apartheid rule that considers that some people are superior to others by birth is counter to any ethical or religious or legal principle. It is destructive, and therefore this day is essential, because it is a call to the whole world to reconfirm. And today we can reconfirm with images and evidence beyond reasonable doubt this actual violation of any principles and this disrespect for humanity done by the Israelis, which calls to all people everywhere around the world to join the axis of resistance. This is a call to join the axis of resistance, not to challenge the others who are supposed to be in the axis of resistance. Today, all Muslims all around the world, Arabs and Persians and people from Europe and the United States and Asia and Africa, should come together to fight this injustice, because it is part also of their interest to have a just world. If the world will allow this Israeli entity to go on with its crimes without punishment, then any country will actually behave in a similar way, and the world will not be able to stop this country. Israel should not be an exception. They should respect international law and respect the right of the Palestinian people to live in dignity, and stop attacking Syria and Iran and Lebanon and Yemen and Jordan, other countries. Stop this genocide in Gaza. This is unacceptable. Okay. We have a furious monster with weaponry from the United States attacking these countries at once. I mean, they attacked the embassy in Damascus in the same day they attacked South Lebanon, in the same day they committed massacres in Gaza, in the same day they arrested tens of people in the West Bank and tortured them. And I read reports that their body legs are amputated by some prisoners because they kept the shackles on the legs for too long.
Right. Stay with me, Omar. Sorry to interrupt you. Stay with me. Stay with me, please. Yes. We have live images coming there out of Kuala Lumpur, as our viewers can see. And, of course, we're looking at various cities throughout the world, and we'll be doing so throughout this day, as people across the world are turning out in mass to commemorate International Quds Day. I'm going to cross over to London now and get Syed Mohsen Abbas in on this discussion. Said Mohsen, thanks so much for being with us. Now, our previous guest, Omar Nashabi, was talking about how the world is waking up to the regime's crimes, and even in the West, they are also waking up to the crimes that are being committed by the Israeli regime. But I want to expand it a little bit more, and that it is not only just the Israeli regime, as he said, that is racist. I mean, we look at this whole hegemonic front from the very beginning, from the media perspective, how this has been covered, until recently when the aid workers, the Western aid workers, were killed, and we saw outrage from many international entities, and this has to stop now, as if 35,000, 40,000 Palestinian lives that have been taken were not enough. But then we had several Westerner humanitarian workers, and of course, each and every person's life is of value. But in the way that they projected, isn't this about, though, this whole racism from the whole hegemonic front?
Yes, I think everybody now is finally beginning to see what many of us as analysts have seen for decades. I mean, this is not new. We know that the tentacles of whatever this phenomena is, because you can call it global Zionism, you can call it moneylender mafias, you can call it the transnational corporate nexus. You could blame it on the industrial military complex of the Americans. There are all sorts of titles and names people give it. But the fact is, it's now being exposed in a way that's never been exposed quite like this before. Number one, you've got the axis of assistance, which is the counterweight to the axis of resistance. The axis of assistance is a concept which highlights the infiltration of Zionism throughout all of the Western so-called democracies. We've seen, as a result of this particular violent, genocidal, ethnic cleansing agenda, we've seen them actually exposed within their parliaments. We've seen them exposed as corporations which are assisting Israel, aiding and abetting. We've seen the exposure of NGO type organizations as well, because don't forget what we've got out there is even the people who've been, projecting the Palestinian cause outside of Al-Quds Day and the axis of resistance has been a very liberal, quite a Zionist fraternity. And this is not known by many people, but Al-Quds Day has been opposed by many of the supposed supporters of Palestine who are in essentially Zionist clutches. The Palestinian Solidarity campaign here, for instance, has boycotted individuals like Professor Miller that I heard of his yesterday, but we were aware of the fact that they were not supporting Al-Quds Day, specifically on political grounds, because they are basically liberal Zionists trying to keep hold of the narrative of Palestine under control. They're the kind of people that were pushing the two-state solution, pushing simply BDS, not supporting armed resistance, who still are likely to be condemning Hamas and its kind of its legitimate military resistance to the terrorism of Israel. They're the kind of people who are opposing the axis of resistance, who will even support and quietly be gleefully rubbing their hands when the embassy of Iran is bombed by the Israelis. They're the ones who don't speak about Israel's violations of all the other countries around the region. So this axis of resistance, on the one hand, is now being exposed as being, really just integrally embedded inside the Anglo-Western imperialist system throughout. And it's something that the Westerners need to wake up to. And, when they elect their governments, when they elect their leaders, they have to understand they have culpability and complicity when their leaders are Zionists. And if Britain wants to be run by Zionists, an American public wants their nations to be run by Zionists, good luck, because that's what's happening. You've had your nation's political independence hijacked by a parasitic entity that is called Zionism, whatever's behind it. But the reality is, Zionism is definitely something we can now put our hand on, because Israel is in there with its lobby groups, with its finance, with its influence within the political circles and its network right across the entire Western system. So that's one part of the assistance axis, Marcia. But the other one is very important too, because it's the one that Ayatollah Khomeini targeted when he talked very much about Israel and America being at the heart of all of the problems of what? Of the problems for Muslims, of the problems for a Quranic concept in a society, for the opposition to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. All of these attacks, these cartoons you see, these kinds of vilifications of Islam, Islamophobia, ISIS, all of this is generated by the think tanks and the nasty little thinkers that these Zionists have got embedded across their sort of global networks. They give it to their media, you talked about, and then that propaganda is pumped out. So it's not just about killing Gazans. This is a sort of a systematic operation to vilify and to make, as you said, to racially and religiously discriminate across the world to create a conflict. They've got their allies in the Arab world as well. Because let's not forget, the axis of assistance is Egypt. The axis of assistance is Jordan. The axis of assistance is also every Arab Gulf nation, Saudi Arabia. Everybody who's allowing transporting of Israeli goods, everybody who is quietly trying to normalize with Israel, everybody involved within the Abraham Accords who was trying to suppress the Palestinian issue, every one of these Arab nations and Muslim nations which complies with this satanic system, as Ayatollah Khomeini said, is complicit and is part of the problem. So I think that is all being exposed by Israel's absolute paranoid, genocidal, reactionary behavior, which has been, I think, triggered by the consistency of projects like Al-Quds Day, consistency of the Al-Quds force across the West Asian region to challenge with asymmetric warfare the Western hegemony. So in a sense, the credit goes to Ayatollah Khomeini, the credit goes to the likes of Al-Quds, who've remained stoically clean. They stand for a one-state solution, giving Palestinians full rights, which is not what the rest of the Palestinian solidarity campaign and such Zionist orchestrated organizations do. They stand for the support of armed resistance. They stand for, they were the ones who triggered the March of Return when everything was dead and nobody wanted to talk about Palestine, not just a few years ago, but it was the March of Return. It actually triggered and initiated with the advice and the support of the axis of resistance that we've seen today. The successes that you're seeing, Mosia, what you're seeing is the blockade of Eilat completely successful. 80% of Israelis not wanting to even return to Israel once they've left now. You can see the collapse of the Israeli economy steadily rising in a massive way. You've seen the displacement of over 200,000 occupiers in the northern part of occupied Palestine and also around Gaza, around Ashkelon and such places. So you've seen, of course, the hundreds of thousands of Israelis who are now injured, who have been hit by psychological problems through injuries and are also being killed. Much of that is being covered up because they've been killed in battlefields with the Palestinian resistance, not like the cowardly bombing of children, which is the way that the Israelis have been totting up their thousands of kill lists, if you like. And this is part of the success, or part and parcel of the success of Ayatollah Khomeini's initiation of the focus.
All right, stay with me, Said Mohsen. Stay with me. You're looking at those live images there coming out of Tehran and, of course, throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran and elsewhere. We're going to cross back over to Beirut and talk to Omar Nashabi, political analyst. Omar, when we look at the changes that have taken place since October the 7th and the greater awareness, you know, there were, for example, various slogans at one point in time that were looked down upon in many places, for example, like the Israeli entity should not exist. But we see a change totally in these 6 months and a greater awareness. I want to talk about this and the significance of what is happening and where do you think it is going? Will we return? Can we return to prior to October 7th? Or no, there is no return. It's only going forward from here.
How can you bring back the lives of the thousands of people? How can you bring back all the tears, all the pain, all the destruction? How can you say that we can flip a page or we can go on with our lives and the world can go on without accountability, without holding the killers accountable? These people are doing a genocide. They should be held accountable, or you are promoting genocide all around the world. It's as simple as that. That's the formula. So since October 7, the world has realized what we have been saying and what Imam Khomeini taught us all along, that this entity called Israel is destructive, it is a criminal, not only to the Palestinians, but to entire humanity. What they have done, I mean, there were resolutions. I mean, I want to focus perhaps maybe or indicate that there were decisions made unanimously in many councils for human rights and in the international arena. There were decisions made by the General Assembly, several decisions since the beginning. It has been going on now for 6 months, you know, this killing. There were so many decisions, and Israel violated all these decisions. In fact, they made fun of these decisions. They made fun because they increased their criminality after every decision by the international community calling them to stop killing the Palestinians. They increased. That was the Israeli answer to the whole world, that if you ask us to stop killing the Palestinians, we will kill more Palestinians. I mean, and we can see the statistics are clear. We are publishing the statistics regularly here from Beirut. We are observing the numbers coming out from the international organizations. And it is shocking to see that the numbers coming out from UNRWA or from UNICEF or from the World Health Organizations, these are not numbers, because when we say the numbers coming out from the Ministry, Palestinian Ministry of Health, they say these are Hamas numbers. We trust Hamas numbers. Okay, you don't trust Hamas numbers. Let's take the international organization numbers. These numbers are shocking because they show an increase in casualties after the international community issued decisions that are legally binding.
Let me just jump in here with what you're saying. Sorry to interrupt you, but when we were talking about, for example, then the numbers coming from the international organizations, as UNRWA and other international organizations, but what does that say in general about these international organizations? I mean, we have the United Nations, and we see, for example, what the goal of the United Nations is establishing peace and security between all nations. So is this a total failure of all these so-called Western-created international organizations? Or what are we seeing here? Because if they're condemning these numbers, but on the other hand, they have some responsibility for making sure that this doesn't happen.
Yes, and they... Yes, exactly. And they rendered these... with the behavior of the Western powers, they made these organizations incapable, insignificant. It's the United Nations today has lost its position. And this what made the United Nations lose its position as a world organization, the largest world organization that's supposed to organize world order. I mean, to a minimum. Let's put it this way. It was created in 1945 after the World War and in order to create a kind of stability around the world, peace and security, it's called. The Security Council, its main responsibility is peace and security around the world. It issues a decision, a resolution 2728, legally binding, calling upon an immediate ceasefire, and the Israelis keep killing people and stopping the food aid to come into Gaza. Now, what is the message here? The message is that Israelis are the enemy of the whole world. It's as simple as that. I'm not oversimplifying it. It is very clear. The Israelis are saying it clearly. There's the decision coming out by 15 votes, one abstention. Only one abstention in the Security Council. That is the United States, not even a veto. That means that the whole international community is against Israel and calling Israel to stop killing people in Gaza and stop the genocide and stop the starvation, stop the bombing of hospitals. And Israel is continuing to do this. And that, you know, that is the importance of this day, because this day is an opportunity also for us to remind the whole world that this cause by Imam Khomeini, when he called upon all people to commemorate Al-Quds Day on the last Friday of Ramadan, is to actually say that we, as Muslims, we want peace and stability and a prosperous life. And therefore, we will have to fight injustice. And we will have to remove Israel from existence, because Israel creates more destruction, more pain, more injustice to all of humanity, not only to Palestinians. And the evidence is that Israel is attacking all the countries in the region. It is attacking Syria, Iraq, it's attacking Yemen, it's attacking Lebanon, if you would see, and indiscriminately and in a brutal way. They didn't even stop at international group or from the kitchen, international kitchen, central kitchen. They killed them, not only once, they bombed their first car, they went to the second car, they bombed the second car, they bombed the third car. And that is clear evidence that they don't care. They think the Israelis consider themselves superior to the rest of the population of the world, and they are allowed to violate all laws and regulations, and the whole world should be complicit because the Israelis keep talking about them being victims of the Holocaust. So what are they trying to say? That if they are victim to Holocaust, they can commit another Holocaust? Is this a common sense or ethical? Is this even something to actually talk about? This entity called Israel is destructive. It should be completely removed. The Imam Ali Khamenei wrote a whole book called The Palestinian Cause, Qadiyat Palestine in Arabic, where he shows a solution. He points out to a solution. There is a peaceful solution, yes, and this is the calling. The calling is for justice. It's not for killing and murdering and destroying. The Islamic Republic of Iran seeks victory. It doesn't seek blood and destruction and revenge and things like that. I think that the objective is to build a better world. That is the calling of Imam Khomeini. And Imam Khomeini has a call for unity, as I said at the beginning, where I think that he would wish for enlarging the axis of resistance and including all Muslims all around the world.
Okay.
Imam Khomeini chose Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and Jerusalem, Al-Quds is not exactly a Shiite reference. I mean, there are not many Shia in Al-Quds. He said that Al-Quds is the one central main reference because it is a symbol of unity of all Muslims, Sunnis and Shia, and it is a unity of all of Christians and Muslims also, and of all people all around the world against injustice.
Okay, thank you so much, Omar Nashabi, political analyst out of Beirut. Thanks so much for being with us. Viewers, you're looking at live images there coming out of Tehran. Again, this the International Quds Day commemoration as people are gathering en masse in cities throughout this country and throughout the world. We're going to cross over right here in Tehran and talk to our correspondent, Fatima Masumi, and see where she is. Fatima, can you hear me? Okay, unfortunately, it seems that I have lost that connection. As soon as we reestablish connection, we'll be talking to one of our correspondents on the ground here in Tehran. Of course, you're looking at those live images there of the ralliers who have gathered this morning to protest against the Zionist entity and to show their support for the Palestinian people, especially this International Quds Day is of so much more significance. We're in the middle of a Holocaust against the Palestinian people and the Iranian nation from the very beginning of the establishment of the Islamic Republic has always shown their solidarity and their support for the Palestinian people, and of course today is no different. Crossing back over to London, Sayed Mohsen Abbas. Sayed Mohsen, Omar, our previous guest, was talking about the situation about the unity and how important that was for Imam Khomeini and how important it is for the Islamic Republic. And we see, in the middle of even in this genocide, we see efforts to try to make this a sectarian issue, to say the Shias are not doing anything or the Sunnis are this. And I mean, I want to look at this part of it because this has been going on for the 6 months since the genocide and, of course, prior to this, that there are efforts always to divide the Ummah, to divide the Islamic community, which is of so much importance for the leader, the current leader of the revolution, and the previous leader, Imam Khomeini and Ayatollah Khamenei. That unity is of importance, and it's not about being Shia, it's not about being Sunni, it's about right and wrong and defending what is right. Your take.
Well, the fact is that from the day the revolution occurred, the Islamic revolution occurred, what we found was that the West, Zionism, generally that all of their think tanks decided that one of the greatest cards they had up their sleeve to destroy any kind of support for Imam Khomeini and the right and the liberation of the Muslim people across West Asia and beyond was sectarianism. So they refined sectarianism within Islam to the nth degree. They employed the Saudi funds, the Qatari funds. Virtually every one of the Gulf monarchies got involved, and they incubated a form of Islam, Takfirism, Wahhabism, Salafism, call it what you like, there are many names it comes in, but it now manifests in the form of ISIS, was Jabhat al-Nusra, which is Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. There are al-Jundala type organizations. All of these organizations that have been fueled, which are terrorizing mostly Muslims and West Asia, are all the spawn of this kind of sectarian religious narrative, which was produced as a way of trying to counter the liberation voice of Muslims that Ayatollah Khomeini had raised in Iran. So what we've seen over the last 40 years, 50 years, is the methodical effort to divide Sunni and Shia. And that continues today. It continues in the West with people who are sort of semi-liberal, semi-Salafists, Omar Suleiman, for instance. There's others here on the Shia side, people like Amar Nachrani. Now, these people create division not by necessarily openly talking about fighting or conflict between Muslims. What they do is they push the polar extreme narratives within both Shia Sunni in order to ferment and get people worked up around identity politics. So the identity politics of your particular ism within Islam can very effectively divide people. But what we've seen is that Imam Khomeini and Islamic Republic of Iran and the Axis of Resistance are the living, if you like, proof of the lie of that sectarian narrative, because you can see that in Yemen, it's not the Shia who are rising up. In Iraq, it wasn't all Shias that were supporting the Axis of Resistance. In Syria, they're certainly not Shia. They're all people, either secular, liberals, Sunnis, Christians. This across all denominations, across religions, and across ideologies that the Axis of Resistance has been able to reach. So I think that destroying this narrative has always been of high importance. It's still of high importance because they're still trying to use it. And the likes of the Saudis, etc., are shamelessly still trying to pump these narratives out. Across, you know, Pakistan and the subcontinent, they employ people in the religious circles, mullahs, and these guys were basically on the payroll of the Saudis, pumping out the exact narrative which is going to divide and break Muslims. And that division was primarily, of course, just to keep everybody fighting and the Muslims distracted. But they do this kind of division also in the West. It's not just with Muslims. They do it also in the West. That divide and rule concept applies everywhere.
All right, viewers, you're looking at live images there out of Tehran. And prior to that, you were looking at live images out of Indonesia and also out of Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And, of course, we'll be showing these images coming from various points around the world, this on International Quds Day. Thank you so much for being with me, Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator out of London. I'm going to cross over right here in Tehran and talk to one of our correspondents on the ground, Fatima Mastermi. Fatima, tell us what do you have?
Yes, Marzia, we walked with the crowd and we are standing here at the intersection of Palestine and Enghelab Street. There are a large number are people here from all walks of life. They are chanting anti-Israeli regime slogans. And they're also demanding immediate and permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and the occupied Palestinian land. And also they have more demands. They want an immediate end to the blockage in Gaza. Do you have my voice, Marzia?
We're listening to you, Fatima. Go ahead.
Do you have my voice?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. Yes, and they are, again, as I said, they have many demands. Also, they are asking for immediate end to the blockage in Gaza. And they want the international organizations to immediately investigate and stop the genocide of the Israeli regime and its atrocities. They are actually also very angry about the recent attack on the Iranian consular in the capital of Syria in Damascus. As you can hear, they are saying that these people, they are again asking for international communities to put an end to everything that's happening to the Muslims, to our Muslim brothers and sisters and children in the Gaza Strip. And everything that they want is loud and clear. They are resonating their voice of solidarity with the Palestinians.
Thank you so much, Fatima Masumi. I know it's very loud out there. Appreciate your coverage and coming to us again from Tehran. Of course, viewers will be crossing back over to various of our various correspondents who are in various points of the city. Right now, I'd like to welcome my next guest to the program out of London, Yemeni activist and lawyer Kim Sharif, and also out of London, journalist, author, and producer Sakina Datto. Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start off with Kim. Again, Kim, this day, I've started off in the morning talking about the beginning, the roots, of course, of Quds Day and how Imam Khomeini, right after the revolution, basically commemorated the last Friday of the month of Ramadan to be International Quds Day. And we look at, probably at that time, many people could not understand why that was so significant for the Islamic Republic of Iran. We fast forward into today, and we see what is happening and the importance of the resistance and the importance of that stand that Iran made 45 years ago and continues to staunchly support the resistance today. Your take.
Yes, good morning. It's an amazing day. It's unfortunate that I can't be out there with the people and take part in this very important day in the lives of humanity as a whole, not just Muslims, but humanity as a whole, because you quite rightly identified that Imam Khomeini, radiallahu anhu, he identified a very, very important and salient issue affecting